The Key to Rebecca by Ken Follett. Read by Tim Pigott-Smith. The last camel collapsed at noon. It was the 5-year-old white bull, the youngest and strongest of the three beasts. Its forelegs folded, its rear went down, and it couched, staring across the empty desert with the indifference of the dying. The man hauled on its nose rope, but it would not get up. The man kicked its hindquarters hard 3 or 4 times. Finally, he took out a razor-sharp, curved Bedouin knife and stabbed the camel's rump. Blood flowed from the wound, but the camel did not even look round. The man gnawed some dates and watched the camel die while he waited for the sun to pass overhead. The only response was to say, "Inshallah, it is the will of God." He had come a long way in this desert, more than 1,000 miles, and had crossed the border into Egypt, unobserved by man or beast. Now he was not far from his destination. Eventually the sun began to dip toward the west. He looked at the camel's load. There were 3 small European suitcases, 2 heavy and 1 light, all important. There was a little bag of clothes, the maps, the food, and the water bottle. It was already too much. He would have to abandon the tent. He made the 3 cases into a bundle, strapping the lot together with a length of cloth. It was a heavy load, and the desert had weakened him. His bowels were water, his skin a mass of sores, and he had lost 20 or 30 pounds. He could not go far. Holding his compass in his hand, he started walking, navigating by dead reckoning over the final miles, his mind emptied. He put one foot in front of the other automatically, without thought. The day cooled into evening. Behind him, the sun sank lower. A white moon appeared in a purple sky. He was sure he was close to the well. By his reckoning, he should have been there. He walked on. His calm was deserting him now. He thought again of the camel he had left behind. He would not wait for death. Not for him the hours of agony and encroaching madness. He had his knife. The moon went down, but the landscape was bright with starlight. Then he smelled roast lamb. He breasted a rise and saw, close by, the red glow of the fire. There were tents around the fire, hobbled camels grazing the scattered thorns and the wellhead beyond. People looked up at him, startled. A tall man stood up. The traveller pulled at his howlie, unwinding the cloth to reveal his face. The tall man, shocked, said, "My cousin." The traveller smiled faintly and collapsed. When he awoke, he thought for a moment that he was a boy again. Someone was touching his shoulder and saying, "Wake up, Ahmed," in the tongue of the desert. Nobody had called him Ahmed for years. He realized he was wrapped in a coarse blanket and lying on the cold sand. He opened his eyes. He had found the well, and his cousins were here, as they always were at this time of the year. He sat up abruptly, suffering a sudden sharp panic as he thought of his precious baggage. Then he saw it piled neatly at his feet. Ishmael was squatting beside him. The 2 cousins looked at one another. It was 5 years since the last time they had met. Ishmael said, "Was it a long journey?" Ahmed nodded. "Libya, I came from the sea." "Alone?" Ishmael was awestruck. Even the nomads did not make such long journeys. "But why?" "It is to do with this war." Ishmael shrugged. "What does this matter to the sons of the desert?" "My mother's people are in the war." Ahmed lifted a suitcase. "Will you keep this for me?"
"Yes." "Who is winning the war?"
"My mother's people. They are like nomads, proud and cruel and strong.